Hello and welcome to Inside Ouch. I'm Emma Tracy and my guest today, I'm very excited to say, is the one and only Matt Fraser. Hello.
Hello, Emma. How nice to talk to you again after all these years.
If you're new to Ouch and you don't know Matt, Matt presented the Ouch talk show for over 5 years, so for a very long time. Treat yourself, go back on the feed and listen to some archive episodes. It's well, well worth doing. But then he left us and went on to bigger things, drummed with Coldplay at the closing ceremony of the Paralympic Games in 2012. Played Paul, the illustrated seal boy in American Horror Story, a primetime American drama, if you don't mind, in 2014. And now, Matt, you're playing Richard III, Shakespeare's Richard III, at the Hull Truck Theatre in May 2017. That's so exciting, isn't it?
It's thrilling beyond belief.
It really is. It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Well, it is huge. It's far bigger than I actually thought it was when I agreed to take on the job, Emma. I didn't realise how many lines Richard III speaks. He talks a lot to that man. And as we speak, I'm 2 pages off having learnt the entire script.
Wow.
It's a monumental undertaking, but one that I started about 6 weeks ago. So I'm in the luxurious position of being able to rehearse, as they call it, getting up on your feet and doing the blocking, the movements, without having to hold the script in my hand, which actually, for me, is an access issue.
You've learned it for 6 weeks on the page so that when you're rehearsing, you won't have to.
So I won't have to walk around literally holding the script. You know, me just turning a page requires a ring binder, usually a table, to be able to turn a page quickly and adequately. And so everybody having to wait while Matt, with his ill-equipped flippers, turns yet another page on the script was not something I wanted everybody to have to experience all the time.
Yeah.
So it is an access issue for me, although generally as an actor, it does liberate you to not have to walk around with the script. So I'm in that lucky position of working out my blocking and my feelings and my, you know, acting. Yeah.
So if you're blind and you're not familiar with Matt's work, and partly because I just want to harp back to our long-running quiz, Veg, Veg or Veg,
where
we used to ask people, used to have to guess what was wrong with the person on the line. Matt, what is your impairment?
My mother took a morning sickness pill called thalidomide, which has resulted in my arms being that of phocomelia, which means seal-like limbs. And so instead of having a humerus and a radius and ulna bone, I just have a short plate bone like that of a seal, leading to my wrists, which kind of look like an elbow. And then I have inward-turning hands with 4 fingers and no thumbs.
Sounds like you might have said that before, once or twice.
Just once or twice, yeah.
So I've been reading a lot about the upcoming Richard III, etc. And everyone keeps saying that you have phocomelia due to your mum having taken thalidomide. Whereas we would have always said thalidomide survivor, you know, different versions of that. Has there been a little bit of a change in how you describe your impairment?
Well, not how I describe it, no. I've remained roughly the same with my phrasing about it for the last 15 years. I think it's just other people. Maybe it's that they've realised that people don't automatically know what a thalidomider is.
Yeah.
And they wish to sort of break it down a bit more. But I don't know why the language has changed, really.
Call the Midwife has had a massive, massive story about thalidomide
over the
last couple of years. Mm. And it feels like maybe that's informed people a little bit. I watched a little documentary about Call the Midwife where your friend Rosaline Moriarty Simmons was on talking about the storyline. And she reckoned they did it reasonably good job.
Well, I thought it was rather good. I tuned into a little bit of it and I saw a bit with Jenny Agutter bemoaning the life of an infant that was clearly not going to live for long. And Emma, it was weird. I know this stuff inside out. It's we're born and bred with it, you know. But you watch it on television and the depth and well of emotion that came forth was quite unexpected, and I found myself profoundly moved by it. And I know that I speak on behalf of quite a few thalidomiders who unexpectedly found that it was far more an emotional experience to watch that portrayal of our history than we had ever imagined might be possible. You know, full marks. I would say thumbs up, but that would be inappropriate. I full marks, I think, to Call the Midwife for going there. And I know that they liaised with the Thalidomide Society at length, and before it was broadcast, they came to one of our meetings and explained what was going to happen. So, you know, in terms of portrayal and working practice, it was exemplary, I thought. And I think today's sort of general best practice, there's an assumption that, oh, we better go and check the facts with the people who know what they're talking about before we do the thing on telly.
Absolutely.
I mean, it can only get better, can't it, from the previous portrayals where people, where able-bodied people tried to second-guess stuff about disability. And normally when somebody tries to second-guess anybody about anything they don't really know about, it's never quite good.
You shouldn't have to applaud it, basically. You shouldn't have to applaud stuff like this.
Well, indeed, in the way that many disabled people on a private Facebook group complained about the applauding of my being cast as Richard III. They're like, wow, a disabled guy gets cast as the disabled guy. Where's the news in that? Etc. And, you know, they have a point, I guess.
They have a point, but it is a big thing because disabled man's been cast as the disabled man, but many, many, many people have been cast as that same disabled man before you.
So I do feel a little bit like the first Black Othello. do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I know Catherine Hunter, a fantastic actress, just knocked it out of the park at the wonderful Grey Eye, a Magic Royal Exchange show, House of Bernarda Alba. I know that she's done Richard III and she does have impairments. But, you know, I'm the first actually deformed person to be called a foul lump of deformity on stage, one of the lovely lines in the play.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are so many references to, behold, mine arm is like a blasted sapling, withered up, etc., etc.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I mean, there's some really good arm stuff in this, Emma. And in many ways, I am the first person who owns the body that is described portraying the man. It's hugely exciting to me. And Barry Rutter, who, legend of Northern Broadsides, the director, we did a little thing for Radio 3 recently because Hull is City of Culture and they came up there with their cultural stuff on Radio 3. And I had to do the opening speech and I did it. And halfway through, I thought, gosh, I'm reading this, but there's an audience. I better look up and look at the audience. So I took my glasses off and then carried on the speech. And Barry said he felt a shockwave go through the audience when they saw my little crippled hand. I'm going to cry. My hand taking off my glasses. So in other words, when the audience were confronted with the actor's real deformity, impairment, disability, whatever you like to call it, juxtaposed against the lines, it clearly had a deep resonance that no one in the room was expecting. And that's the aspect that I think I'm excited about. I think Barry is, and hopefully the audience will get excited about.
Exactly. So let's go back a bit on Richard III. And for people like me who don't know even the most famous Shakespeare plays inside out, can you just give us a little summary of Richard III and what it's about?
At the end of the Wars of Roses between the Lancasters and the Yorks, Richard, the last Plantagenet and fourth in line to the throne, decides that he will become king. In doing so, he has to rid himself and the country of his older brother and his oldest brother's two youngest sons. So one, two, three and fourth in line to the throne all have to be got rid of before he can become king. And so, in the way that many disabled people do, by any means necessary, he manipulates socially and politically everyone around him to achieve his goals. Murder, blood, death and awfulness are mentioned more in this play than any other Shakespeare play.
And you said, like, many disabled people need to do.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. But let me qualify that. I'm not saying that most disabled people would consider killing their own cousins in order to get a cheese pie. But, well, the crown of England's more than a cheese pie, I suppose. But what I'm saying is I'm letting my knowledge of disabled people's often skill at manipulating things to get what they want, because the normal avenues of opportunity are not afforded to us so often. We have to think around and outside those boxes. That's what I'm saying. And Richard is doing that, albeit with murderous and evil intent.
Mm. And he plays the disability card a bit as well, doesn't he?
He does. He gets them out several times and uses them. He plays it in the most horrible way in one of the scenes. And it's the scene where, because up until that point, only the audience are privy to his evil, because unlike many Shakespeare plays, he kind of tells the audience what he's going to do.
Mm.
He breaks the fourth wall in that respect. But the rest of the cast and the other royals and lords have no idea until this awful council meeting, when he turns on Hastings suddenly and tells him that the reason he's deformed is because of the Queen's witchcraft. And what would that man do about that? And there's nothing for him to say, well, he should be killed. And then he says, you know, he twists the situation in order to get rid of Hastings, who he knows isn't going to support his ascension to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that's
he does
totally
a
bit where he uses his disability horribly, in the way that we would all be so ashamed of to do. You know, we don't like doing it, do we? I mean, I'm of the generation that, you know, it's dishonourable to do that. However, when you've travelled internationally as much as I have and been in those blooming immigration queues And your wife goes, go on, tell them you need help. Go on. No, I can't. Tell them. We'll get in the front of the queue. Okay. And then I do, and I get in the front of the queue, you're like, maybe I'll use this one from time to time. You know? It's only fair.
Do you still find that that works as well? Because I remember trying to get on a flight recently enough, and someone said, she has not paid for speedy boarding. We paid for speedy boarding. And I was at the top of the queue with my cane, you know, clearly blind and, you know, hopefully looking a little bit like I might need to get on first. But people weren't happy, weren't that happy about it. And it was the only first time I'd ever seen that happen. I was quite pleased about it in my own little way as well.
Yeah. You know, what is that? Socially, that's people going, all right, you've got your rights. Now you've got to own your responsibilities.
Yeah.
Oi, don't jump the queue. In a way, we crave that kind of criticism because it means equality, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but in another way, we're like, oh, God, I got found out.
Yeah. And, you know, the Richard III going back, there's no hunchback. You know, often he's got a hunchback, often he's got an eye patch. Mm. They've chosen not to do that this time. They've just gone straight with your...
Well, you say today, it was actually a conversation between me and Barry where we both agreed. You know, I mooted it, but he was already going to moot it anyway. That, you know, I've already got a deformity. What would be the point of pretending to have other ones? Like, I don't need an eye patch. I don't need a hump. I don't need some weird leg brace because I don't need the trappings and tropes and cliches of a portrayal of impairment to show my impairment. But having said that, we're doing Shakespeare's Richard, not the one they found under the Spa car park, who they found it was actually this and actually this and didn't do that, but did do that.
Yeah.
We're doing the play that's been written. What are you going to do? Change the lines. Here, under this Spa car park, do I? No, you can't do that, right? So we have to honour the Richard that Shakespeare wrote. And as we know, because of history, Shakespeare was writing a portrayal of Richard that was favourable to the crown at the time. And that it was favourable for them to have him demonised. And what's the easiest way to demonise anyone? Heap more impairments on them. I mean, you know, we say it's a tried, old, tested route. Actually, this is where it started, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's from this that all other evil, you know, the broccoli people, the people who make James Bond, boy, have they taken Richard III as an evil under their wing, because every villain they have is a Richard III.
Yeah, someone was saying, gosh darn, villains very prone to skin conditions, you know.
Yes, they are. And, you know, the irony is, of course, well, let's not get into that one. I used to bang on about it a lot when I was presenting with Liz. But, you know, the irony is that because I'm the real one, I'll never get cast as the Bond villain because they want pretend ones. But there we are, you know, whatever. That Put another nose on me face.
Yeah.
Anything. I'll do it.
You'd quite like to be a Bond villain, would you?
Of all the roles in all the world, that is one that I would desperately love to do, yes.
Yeah.
And therefore, I never will. Because
well,
that's life.
Never say never.
Well, never say
never.
Oh,
now.
You're so clever. Can I just say this?
Yeah.
You can edit it out if you want. I'm in one of these remote studios in BBC Hull. Great. It's lovely here. Everyone's lovely. Can I just shout out for Hull? City of Culture 2017. You know, Hull has a pretty bad rep down south. I have no idea why. I've been here for 2.5 weeks. I've been out and about. I've only met lovely, sensible, friendly people. Yes, northern people are more direct and down to earth. We know that than the flouncy ways of the southerners with their spritzers and etc. And, you know, I suppose elements of that cliche are true. But everyone has been so nice. Hull is a fantastic city centre. There's a thriving gay culture. There's a thriving goth scene. And it's nice being a disabled person again. I don't think a lot of people have seen American Horror Story here in Hull. And so I walk through the shopping mall and I'm just another flid back to being that. And it's quite nice.
How weird is it being disabled and famous? Is it a double weirdy?
I could write a whole paper on it, Emma. I mean, I'll just say this. If ever there were proof that disability is a social construct, it is that now I'm supposedly a celebrity, another social construct, it completely cancelled out my disability, insofar as groups of people who would normally have only interacted with me as a disabled person with all the embarrassment and social awkwardness that that would imply are now fan-worshipping me just because I'm on TV, which proves that both are social constructs. I didn't say that very cleverly, but there's a paper in it somewhere. No, they see my arms and my impairment, but it doesn't become a disability to their social interaction with me of being an awkward nature. Instead, they're like, wow, you're on TV. It's the weirdest feeling in the world, Emma, after having lived a whole life of being interacted with on that level, to now be interacted with on this new level and be kind of, you know, because, you know, I'm political about disability and everything, and sort of be assessing what's going on and really not being able to fathom it. It's quite extraordinary. And you'd be like, what are you looking at? And they're like, I saw you on telly last night, mate. And you're like, oh, sorry.
Any more telly? You were in something that
I was in something that has not come out yet. And it was happened because I was at a do and I met Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers. And he's a lovely fellow. He got like an house on fire. And before I knew where I was cast in his new comedy, which is about a group of rather maverick, fallen apart, dissembled, middle-aged alcoholics and drug addicts who are at a sort of 12 steps program. And it's very un-PC. It's very funny. And I play the only English person in it, Roger. And it comes out in America in the autumn, so I'm not quite sure when in Britain.
I just want to ask, Prince Harry was saying that he almost had a breakdown, you know, when dealing with his mum's death. But one of the things that he took up was boxing. It did make me think of your whole, your martial arts and how far you went with that. And, you know, is there any connection with that? Did you start as a teenager? Did you start later?
I started in 1987 when I was in my 20s. And I moved to a rough area. And on the same day, I was scouting the area. On the same day, a rough gang walked past me and sniggered, and I felt threatened. And I went for a swim, saw an advert for taekwondo. And the two things just got linked. And I went to taekwondo, and I've got very strong legs because of my little arms. Someone said, can you kick this board? I sliced through it like butter. He went, ooh, you're a natural. I'd like you to come to my class. This is mostly a kicking art. And then over the years, since I still do it all the time, and I am an angry person, Emma. You know that. I got into trouble at the Beeb for it. I've got into trouble everywhere for it. I'm a very angry person. And it's inappropriate to let that anger bleed into my normal working and social life. So the way that I deal with it is I have a good old tear up two or three times a week in the safe confines of a sporting environment. Now, I think that's really good for my equilibrium. My ex-wife, she's so angry a person that she found it was made her even more aggressive, and she went more down the yoga route. So it's not for everybody. But for me, if I can slam into a bag and kick the... But Jesus, am I allowed to say that? No. And kick the hell out of everything around me for an hour and a half, three times a week, then hopefully in my normal life, I've got a more sort of a calmer equilibrium.
OK, I could actually talk to you all day, but I'm going to get you to plug Richard III at the Hull Truck Theatre. Go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, and those in between, and the Buffalo Girls around the outside, now is your opportunity to see the first ever deformed disabled actor play the most famous disabled villain in literature history, Richard III, at Hull Truck Theatre, encompassing Northern Broadside's 25th anniversary and Hull City of Culture 2017. The first preview is on May the 4th. The last production performance is on May the 27th. Please come. You'll never see anything like it again, and your life will be changed forever.
Matt Fraser, thank you so much for speaking to me. It's been such a pleasure to chat.
And it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Emma. Thank you so much. It's a real thrill to be back on Ouch. And please give my love to Simon and Kate and everybody else there.
This has been Inside Ouch. I'm Emma Tracy. You can find more of our stuff at bbc.co.uk/disability. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at BBC Ouch, or email us ouch@bbc.co.uk.